Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Jessica Chastain, who's in the new movie, Miss Sloane. Jessica, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Hello, Jason.
This is awesome. I think you're one of the greatest actors, if not the best, going today. So this is a treat for WTOP. Are you kidding me? Oh, this is awesome.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I should have been on the show earlier.
Yeah, you should have.
I was like, you're going to say stuff like that.
Awesome. So this movie, I just got out of another room with John Madden, the director, Shakespeare in Love and everything else. And he said he had you in mind the second he was reading the script. So he, like, pictured you while he was reading it. So that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. What was it for you? I mean, did you picture yourself the first time you read it? Did you read it in one sitting? You know, what was that first read like?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, it was sent to me with, questioning my interest if I wanted to play the character. So, of course, when I started reading it, I was like, let's see how this character lives in my brain. And I found her to be so exciting because she really challenges the status quo and we're not used to seeing women like this on screen. I mean, we're now seeing really ambitious and over-prepared women that are one step ahead of everyone else in politics. And I'm hoping now we'll start to see it more in the media.
It goes with the times a little bit.
Yeah,
you're
does.
Mirroring that a little bit. All right. Awesome. So what was it like when, after you read it, you agreed to do it and you spoke with John? Because I know you guys have worked together before, right? The debt. What was it like working with him second time versus first time? Now that you guys know each other's, you know, how you work, what was that relationship like this time, second time around?
Well, it was great. I mean, it was great both times. The difference was this. We made this movie with very little money and a lot of dialogue. So even before we came on set, we were talking about the pace of the film and how quick it had to go, how quickly we would need to film the scenes. We wouldn't have a lot of time, a lot of takes. And I honestly knew from the beginning I was going to need to show up with the dialogue cold in my brain and have it down.
Why was that? Why weren't there going to be a lot of takes? Just
money.
Budget-wise, yeah.
Money.
Money.
So, yeah, it was more of a... I think we were both super panicked when we were on set, but I wouldn't wanted to do this film with anyone else because I trust him so much. He started out as a acting teacher at Yale, and he's so nurturing to be on a set with, and you feel like you can kind of just do whatever, and he's going to prevent me from looking stupid, you know, which is great for someone to know when you're doing something like this.
Is that the main thing you look for in a director? Keep them from looking
please
stupid?
Please don't make me look stupid. Yes, let's work together.
Awesome.
No. I look for people who are nurturing. I like having a good time on set, and I like directors that collaborate with actors, and we create the character together, and I felt I definitely did that with John.
So let you bring something to it, not nail you down to a certain preconceived idea. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. As I was watching the movie and I heard the line, there's even a piece of dialogue that says something about tradecraft, and I was like, perfect, that's there you go, 0-30. But I bring that up because this isn't your first time playing sort of one of these Washington types. It's different, though. It's cool. You bring us into realms that we as viewers might not know. In that case, it was, you know, the intelligence side. In this kind of case, it's the lobbying side of DC. Mm-hmm. But compare those two roles and sort of how you approach, because they're similar but very different worlds.
Yeah, I saw Maya in Zero Dark Thirty. She has some immaturity to her, and when she goes up against a wall, she'll just break it down. You know, she doesn't. There's nothing about Maya that was political or smooth talking. She didn't play well with others, and she didn't care that she didn't play well with others. Sloane, even though she does things that you question, while she sees people sometimes as collateral damage, she's a very smooth talker. But there's a scene, in fact, where you see her with a senator, and she's, you know, smooth talking him to get him to vote. So there's a lot of laughing and smiling, and she knows how to play the game in a way that Maya doesn't. Also with Sloane, I saw it as this study of addiction, and just like someone can be addicted to drugs or sex or food or whatever it is, Sloane is addicted to the high, and the more impossible the win, the bigger the high.
Does that play into the, you know, the you mentioned the addicted to the high, but you're also addicted to these pills. Do they sort of complement each other? Almost like a, I don't want to say like a fear of missing out, but you know what I mean? Like you always want to be awake and you always want to, you know, win. You don't feel like you don't want to ever be out of the game.
Exactly. I think for Elizabeth, the pills feed the bigger addiction, and her bigger addiction is winning. She just has to win. And so when she takes on, in this film, it's the unwinnable client. And so that's, it just makes her work even harder and actually become more self-destructive.
Well, it was maybe unwinnable to you, but you won us over, so... Okay. So when you're in...
Ba-dum-psh.
Yeah, well, come on, you guys kind of have the drums. What's going on? Just sitting there. No. Awesome. So... early on, you have that, you know, let's sort of go into, you know, the gun control side of this conversation, because that's what it deals with a lot. You know, early on, you have that scene where you're going in, and your reputation precedes you to these guys, and they're like, we want you to represent, you know, we want to turn it into women that can defend themselves, and you kind of have that look. How do you get that look on your face? Because it's perfect. It's like, it's like, are these guys serious? And then you bust out laughing too. But how do you keep that control and then burst out the laugh?
Honestly, I think it's all the research of reading the paper every day and seeing what's going on right now. And it's fascinating to me because, especially this current political election, there's so much discussion about women and women's votes. And you see the map of what the election would look like if the 19th Amendment was never passed and what it looks like now. And I think for me, just being a woman, it doesn't take a lot of research to imagine what it's like to be in a room full of people who are maybe from another era.
It's true.
And have an old-fashioned mentality.
Yeah, definitely. I think you have a line in there that says, my position on this solidified between Columbine and Charleston. And when I heard that, I was like, that's probably a lot of people. And just, it's almost like what's in the elliptical, Sandy Hook and Virginia Tech, there's just so much in between there. And it was interesting hearing John's side of it as someone from across the pond, almost like, what are those Americans, you know, what are they doing? but there are, you know, I grew up in a rural area too, and, you know, there are people that like to hunt and fish and all that kind of stuff, and it's great, whatever, it's personal protection, whatever, but how do we reach people that maybe are of that mindset to think that, you know, hey, there are some common sense things we can do, and what might be some of those things in your mind?
This is a really difficult question for me to ask because it really isn't my training, my study, you know. I think the interesting thing about this film is it takes the gun debate and uses it as an example of how the political system is broken. It could be the climate change debate. It could be so much that we then look at and say, okay, why is it so difficult to get a bill passed? And you realize it's because senators and congressmen, instead of focusing on representing the people and maybe what a majority may want, their focus is the fundraisers, sometimes three fundraisers every day. Their focus is keeping their seat in office. And I think that is a discussion that we all need to have as a country. Also, what's really interesting about this film is that it's a bipartisan bill. And I think the way to make any change, whether it be like the gun debate, climate change, whatever it is, it has to be a bipartisan effort. We can't stay on either sides of the aisle anymore.
Right. Yeah, so a lot of people hear lobbyists. The word's thrown around a lot, but a lot of people might not know exactly what goes on. Was there anything that sort of surprised you or that you learned by diving into this that you said, oh, wow, that really goes on?
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't really know much about lobbyists at all. I read Jack Abramoff's book.
You've been in a couple lobbies in your day.
Exactly. I was in a lobby.
Some revolving doors, so you basically knew everything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was surprised by, I mean, what he did and how he was able to connect his clients with politicians and go on trips together and have a lot of money exchange hands in that, which is really kind of just buying votes, in my opinion. I know that it's been changed, but I still see, you know, when I came to D.C., I could see some loopholes I met with a bunch of lobbyists, and I could see situations that I thought, there's some moral ambiguity to this. And I don't think it's the lobbyists' fault. I think it's really the political system that right now isn't working great.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scene in the movie that you think when you look back on set, you said, because you said you didn't have that many takes, but was there one that like, that was it? You get the little goosebump. Robert Duvall said he had the goosebump theory. Just talked to him yesterday. He said, like, in Mockingbird, he got goosebumps when he walked up to Jem's bed with Atticus and everything around. Yeah. Oh, so was there any, like, goosebump moment for you?
You know, I was in such a panic with this movie because it was my... I would finish all day on set, be exhausted, and spend a couple hours trying to memorize the next day's work. I mean, I really liked filming the debate scene with Michael Stuhlbarg. I loved that scene. So maybe that's probably my favorite.
Awesome. How do you do the you know, pill-popping, no-sleep thing? Did you just not sleep, or did you just drink a lot of coffee, or to get hopped up? Or, like, what was the actual preparation for that?
Well, in real life, I'm super healthy, and I don't even drink coffee, which is crazy.
What?
I know.
I only drink coffee in Italy right now.
Like right now, this is a cup of chamomile tea in my hands.
So you're acting.
Yeah, so I'm acting in this movie. Isn't that crazy?
Jessica Chastain. Breaking news on WTF.
No, I'm really, I try to live as healthy as possible. It's kind of boring stuff. I'm vegan. I don't drink coffee. I try to stay very healthy, get a good night's sleep, so when I show up for work, I can be very present.
How do you pick your roles? Because you've had such a range. I mean, from like The Tree of Life to Dark 30 to this to Interstellar and your other space movie, The Martian,
yeah,
and
The Martian.
Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. God, like, you have so many great roles. The Help. Don't forget The Help. How do you pick them? Like, what do you look for when
you're... I like characters that challenge the status quo. I just like that. Maybe there's some part of me, maybe I have a rebel heart, you know? even if there's, you know, like with The Help, there's something about her that she did, yeah, absolutely, she challenged the status quo in 1960 Mississippi. So I find that really inspiring. I just did a movie about Catherine Weldon. It's a true story of her friendship that she had with Sitting Bull in 1889. And that's 30 years before women had the right to vote. And there was this great friendship that they had in this time when the country was being formed. And these two groups didn't really have voices in the nation.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame they don't do it like the old days where they would give Oscars for, you know, a totality of the year. I know, like, early on in, like, the 20s they would do that. Because, come on, 2011 you would have had it with The Help and Tree of Life. Or 2013, you had, like, three great roles. Most violently, whatever. Maybe they'll bring that back around. But I know we're probably getting close to the clock. Do you mind if we end with a little rapid fire? Or I'd throw out some
I thought you were actually going to say, do you mind if we end with a little rap? And I was going to be like, yes, I really mind.
Do you want,
because I am not
come
someone
on.
Who has, this is not in my
you're
skill
set. You're not Lin-Manuel Miranda. Can't just bust it out.
Bust out my Hamilton
You're
moves.
Not throwing away your shot. Of tea. Okay, cool. We do this a lot of times when we get people here, like Spike Lee did it and he was great. Just go, I'll throw out a movie that you've done.
And
it doesn't have to be a one word answer, but just, it could be a phrase, but first thing you think of.
Oh, this could be really dangerous.
Is it?
I don't know. I mean, have you ever had any controversy from this on your show?
It was right now, I think.
Let's do it.
But it's pre-taped, so we're good.
All right. I got a rebel heart. Let's do it.
Rebel heart, exactly. All right. The Help.
I'm terrible at this game. That's the first
you
thing that
some
popped
help?
In my head. I need some help.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do it this way. Talk about the director you worked with in each one. All right. Tate Taylor, The Help.
But am I just supposed to say one word? Wait, now you're changing the rules on me.
It can be a phrase, a memory of the director, or I'm just trying to give you some ideas.
All right.
The Help.
Drinking moonshine in Mississippi.
Awesome. Tree of Life.
Playing tag with three boys.
Nice. Zero Dark 30.
Kicking ass.
I'm the mother blank that got Bin Laden. Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby.
Oh. Super depressed in New York.
What else we got? Interstellar.
Oh, Interstellar. Saving the world one equation at a time.
Nice. A Most Violent Year. JC.
Yeah, emasculating Oscar Isaac every day.
You and Alicia Vikander, right? Ex Machina. What else? I know we're leaving something out. The Martian.
The Martian. If it wasn't for me, Matt Damon would still be in Mars.
Ooh. And still on a World War II battlefield. Everyone's saving Matt Damon. Miss Sloan.
Miss Sloan. Oh, God.
Bringing it full circle.
Bringing it full circle. Miss Sloan, now working... Wait, no, I can't say that. Sorry. And I can't get too political because it's terrible. Miss Sloan... changing the world one pantsuit at a time.
Nice. And I forgot Crimson Peak.
Oh,
changing the world one something else at a time.
One cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly.
I would probably just say, don't worry, dear, drink your tea.
I love it. Awesome. Jessica, thanks so much. It's an honor. Honestly, not since Jodie Foster has someone killed the monster in the night vision, like Zero Dark Thirty, like you.
Are you connecting it to Silence of the Lambs?
Yes, I'm just
very
saying.
Clever.
I'm just saying. You're right up there with Jodie's in the best. So
oh, thanks
so much.
Man.
Everyone go see Miss Sloan.
Thank you so much. All right. Such a pleasure.